Would the House please come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
25 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is the Reverend Leon Thompson from Chapel by the Lake. Would the members please rise?
I would invite you to join with me in calling upon the presence of God for this body this day. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this morning calling upon your presence before this body. Give these legislators clear minds, energetic spirits, good imaginations, and the use of the intelligence you've given and created within them. We thank you that in the midst of all of life, you are here. We can never escape from your presence, and that is a blessing for each of us. Thank you for this, O God. Therefore, when we go about our work this day, help us to know that you are here in our midst to guide, to strengthen, to protect, and to help create. Help us to take moments in this day to call upon your presence in all that we do. Each of us have been blessed with gifts and special talents, and may we use those gifts and talents to be a blessing to others. Let us rely upon the strength and wisdom of others to help us along the way and not allow our pride to get in the way with the attitude that I can do it to myself. There are challenges within this great land that stand before us. May we see the challenges as opportunities to bring about good. Guide again this body with the tough decisions to be made in this session. And may they be good representatives of the people. All this we pray to the one who created and sustains us now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Thompson. Representative Elton, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Davies?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, it shall be spread. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, may the journal reflect that Representative Moses and Representative Gary Davis have previously been excused from a call of the House.
Thank you. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 5th, 6th, and 7th legislative days and House Supplement Number 1, Senate and House Joint Journal Supplement Number 3, and Number 4.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals as certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journal stands approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Bundy.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to introduce the House and have the House help me welcome a new member of our staff in the HES Committee. In the Paradovich Gallery, Rebecca Wetzel, please.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's my pleasure today to introduce to all of you people that have come here from all over the state that work for the Alaska Association of Homes for Children. Well, they have homes all over the state, so we have a variety of people. I'd like for all of the people that are here representing the Alaska Association of Homes and for Children to please stand up so I may introduce you. Many of these are people from your constituents, but I thought I would help by just calling all of the names, and I'm sure they will be coming by your various offices to visit with you. This is something that they do on a yearly basis, and this is a very needed service, so we're proud to have them. I'd like to introduce Sheila Gaddis, who's the president of the organization, Major Robert Anderson, who's the vice president, Tad Miller, the secretary, Richard Thompson Thomas is the treasurer. The rest of the members that are here is Dr. Pat Novak, Kim Davidson, Lyndon Everman, and Marsha Everman, James Manley, John Cargan, and let me put my glasses on so I can see. Darina Tigner, Jody Engelman, Patrick Quigley, Juan Phillips Martinez, Jack Duckworth, James Steele, Robert Irvine, Shirley Godley, Sue Adams, Patricia Henderson, Rodney Ottos, Paul Ford, Kay Brasley, Kathy Hall, Ann Cho, and also Sandra Small. Did I call everyone's name? I hope that I did. And thank you so much for being with us.
And our thanks to all of you for your service to the state of Alaska. Representative Bryce?
Madam Speaker, down from Fairbanks was a name that I had made sure that would be left off the good representative before me's list so I could introduce them. Down from Fairbanks is the executive director of the Presbyterian Hospitality House, Dorinda Tigner. And would you please help me welcome Dorinda? Thank you.
Representative Elton?
It gives me great pleasure to introduce Barb Murray, a constituent, and she works with the Miller House here in Juneau.
Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Also in the Taylor Gallery, a friend of mine and a board member for the Kenai Peninsula Care Center, Lisa Parker.
Any further guests for introduction? Before we, Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, if the clerk would please open the roll. I see Representative Davis is excused from the call of the House. David, he is present, and the clerk would open the roll, allow him to vote.
Thank you, and I would just like to remind all the members, if they would please make sure that their quorum vote is pushed before we go to messages from the governor. Thank you. Representative Barnes.
Brief at ease, please.
We're standing at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Madam Clerk, are there any messages from the governor?
No, Madam Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
No, Madam Speaker.
Are there any communications?
We received from the Department of Public Safety an assessment of Alaska alcohol impaired driving problem. I have no further communications.
Are there any reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports.
Are there any reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there any citations or resolutions for introduction?
House concurrent resolution number 5 by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs commemorating the attack on Pearl Harbor by establishing Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day.
Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs.
House joint resolution number 20 by Representative Barnes relating to unfunded federal mandates and the Conference of the States.
State-Federal Relations and State Affairs Committee.
House Joint Resolution Number 21 by Representative Mulder relating to unfunded federal mandates in the Conference of States.
Special Committee on State-Federal Relations and State Affairs.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there any bills for introduction?
House Bill 109 by Representatives Brown and Navarre entitled An Act Relating to Telephone Directory Listing and Solicitations.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
House Bill 110 by Representative Barnes, entitled An Act Relating to the Confidentiality of Certain Information in Motor Vehicle Records and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 111 by Representative Bryce, an act requiring school districts and regional education attendance areas to pay for the cost of immunizations for bloodborne pathogens for certain employees.
Pest Committee and Finance.
House Bill 112 by Representative Bryce, entitled An Act Relating to Unemployment Compensation for Persons Employed by Educational Institutions and Other than Educational Research or Principal Administrative Capacities.
Hess Committee and Finance.
House Bill Number 113 by Representative Williams entitled An Act Relating to Reports by Fishing Vessels that Are Not Registered Under the Laws of the State.
Special Committee on Fish and Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the items on today's calendar?
We have citations on the calendar, Madam Speaker.
At ease, please. Davis?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just like to revert up the calendar to introduce a guest page that we have. I should have done it earlier.
Without objection.
We have with us today Darren Gaddis, also from Anchorage. And he was a page down here last year and just worked very hard the entire day. And I think he's going to do the same thing today. We're just glad to have him. I want you to help me welcome him.
Any other guests? I thank you, Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Is there any unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Jean Terrio be excused from the call of the House from 6 o'clock p.m. Plain Time Friday, January 27th, until 9:20 a.m. Plain Time Monday, January 30th. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Davies be excused from the call of the House from 6:55 p.m. Plain Time Friday, January 27th, until 9:30 a.m. Plain Time Monday, January 30th. And I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Mike Navarre be excused from the call of the House from 9 o'clock a.m. Plain Time Thursday morning, January 26th, until 8:48 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, January 29th.
Without objection, those members will be approved. Are there any committee announcements? Representative Hanley?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today at 1:30 in the House Finance Room, we will begin our overviews. The Office of Management and Budget will give a presentation, as well as the Department of Administration, Corrections, and Education. And also on Wednesday, I've been asked to announce that the administration is going to give a presentation on the Yukon Koyukuk flood situation. It will be 3 p.m. on Wednesday in the Senate Finance Room. All members of the legislature are invited to attend. That's not an official committee meeting, but it is something that's generated a lot of interest, and I think people would want to attend and see what's going on.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In line with what Chairman Hanley had mentioned, public interest, I'd like to announce that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee will have two very important hearings, first on February the 2nd from 3 to 5 p.m. in the House Chambers, an overview of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, specifically on the 5% loan and the excessive amount of arbitrage money. And then another very important hearing that we just established over the weekend will be February the 16th, and this will have to do with the ADA group, Alaska Industrial Development Association, and the proposed plan they have for the legislators for bailing out Mark Ayer. And a lot of concerns have been even coming in this morning. I've never had this many POMs sent to me, of all things. But we will have that hearing February the 16th. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Porter.
The Judiciary Committee will be meeting at 1 o'clock today for a brief organizational meeting and to consider the confirmation of Margie McNeil and Ed Granger to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics.
Thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to note to the body that the Resources Committee will be meeting Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock to have an overview from the Department of Environmental Conservation, and I think it would be worthwhile because there have been some changes and will be some more changes within that department.
Representative Roachberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to announce that the Special Committee on Oil and Gas will be meeting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to consider House Joint Resolution 13 on the opening of Anwar.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a brief reminder that Labor and Commerce will be meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Brief organizational meeting.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To plan ahead, House Bill 39, Authority to Pronounce Death, will be heard in Hess Committee on Thursday.
Representative Mulder.
Can we have a brief at ease, Madam Speaker?
At ease. Order. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. For the benefit of members who are unaware, we from holdover from last year, we have the Base Realignment and Closure Task Force, and on Wednesday we'll be having an update about where we're at within the process right now, and that meeting will be at 12:45 in the Governor's Conference Room. I welcome everybody who has an interest in the base closure process to attend. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to announce a joint meeting of the Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism and the Committee on World Trade State-Federal Relations on Tuesday at 5 p.m. in the House Finance Committee room. We will have a presentation by the University of Alaska and also by Chuck Becker, the District Director of U.S. Foreign Commercial Services. And we will, over the next few days, have also an overview by the Department of Economic Development as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Osterman.
Yes, I would like to also announce some meetings on the Special Committee on Fisheries. There will be some conflict. Originally, we had scheduled them for Tuesday and Thursday, and then they were conflicting with a couple of the other committees. So we will be moving them to Monday and Wednesdays on a normal basis. But this week, January the 24th, we will hold a meeting at 5 p.m. on the Limited Entry Commission overview. And then on Thursday the 26th, we'll have the Alliance Against IFQs making a presentation. And after that, we will go to a Monday and Wednesday schedule.
Thank you. Representative Masick.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to give an announcement of the organizational meeting of the International Trade and Tourism. It'll be at 3 p.m. on January 26th. It'll be in Capitol Room number 408.
Thank you. Any further committee announcements? Are there any other announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to ask the members of the body to join me in wishing a very happy birthday to Representative Karen Robinson. And I would note that there is some confusion among her staff. We're not certain whether her birthday was Saturday or Sunday, but I think that we have Ledge Research working on it. We'll get that squared away.
Thank you. Representative Robinson, yeah, happy birthday.
Madam Speaker, I appreciate that. And to help with the research, it actually was Sunday. And 44 years old, and all I want for my birthday is a new desk and chairs, if you can help me.
Any further announcements? This brings us to special orders. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like leave of the body to speak about walking your walk as well as talking your talk and taking back our streets.
Without objection, you have the floor.
I would encourage my colleagues to recognize three people in Anchorage who in the past couple of weeks have assisted the legislature in what the general public has been telling us about for some time now, and that is getting a handle on crime and the mindless violence in our streets. On January 4th, Kelly Duff drove up to her home only to find three young men there burglarizing her home. Instead of rolling over and playing dead, as some have done in the past, she removed a rifle from her truck, held them at gunpoint, and said if they didn't comply, she was going to make them comply. I'm proud that she is willing to defend her home, her property, and her family. On January 20th, Renee Pagel, I believe, was a victim of an attempted carjacking. And when they broke out her window, rather than, again, be frightened of these mindless predators, she punched the guy in the nose. I'd like to note for the record that one of our representatives with the black eye was not present at that event. But, again, certainly she is walking the walk as well as talking the talk when it comes to concern about violence in our community. Also on the 20th in Anchorage over the weekend, Jason Fiedler used his skills as a nearly black belt karate expert when armed men broke into his apartment, threatened his family with death, and he responded by defending his family. And these are all people I think we should be very proud of, and I'm very pleased to see that indeed people are walking the walk as well as talking the talk. Thank you.
Further special orders, Mr. Representative Roachberg.
Madam Speaker, I'd like permission on the floor to speak about the alliance meeting of the petroleum industry held this last Saturday in Anchorage.
Without objection, you have the floor.
There was a number of excellent speeches given last Saturday, including those given by John Morgan, the president of British Petroleum Exploration Alaska, Ken Thompson, the president of ARCO Alaska, and Paul Kelly of the Rowan Companies. The legislature was also very well represented by presentations by the Speaker and Senate President Drew Pierce. The reason I'd like to bring this to the attention of this body is that what we heard this weekend really was the reoccurring theme of unity, which was put forward by the governor in his State of the States message last week. And the speeches this weekend really emphasized the potential for a partnership between the state and the petroleum industry. I think Alaska has an extraordinary opportunity at this time in order to achieve a new partnership, but it will be necessary for all the players to cooperate. I think I can liken this to a three-legged stool where we have the governor and the administration as one leg, the petroleum industry as another, and the legislature as the voice of the people as the third leg of the stool to make this new partnership work. And we must all work together to forge a new relationship in order to create better quality jobs, a more positive atmosphere, I think, for the petroleum industry to make the competing dollars for their investment dollars enable them to do that up here, and also to create greater revenues for the state. These are very interesting speeches, and copies will be made available to you.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, request the special privilege of the floor to speak on proper attire.
Permission is granted.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I would like to really compliment the pages this morning who are not only properly attired, but very well attired and very handsome indeed. So if the members would join me in complimenting them, I appreciate it.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd request permission of the body to speak on You Can't Have It Both Ways.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, recently a member of this body as well as a member of the other body found it repugnant to note that there were Gideon Bibles on State Ferry in the staterooms. And I know that there is a Supreme Court ruling that says we should separate church from state. I would like the body to reflect that every morning that we meet, we say a prayer to a Christian God, that our money has in God we trust, and the preamble of the Constitution says we are endowed by our Creator. Madam Speaker, I suggest that this is a Christian country, it is a Christian state, and that Bibles made convenient to people who may want to use them or who may not want to use them certainly should not be viewed as an infringement upon those who do not share the Christian faith. Madam Speaker, there was an article in Sunday's paper by Mike Dugan. Everybody knows Mike Dugan, and I probably don't agree on many things, but I would like to bring to the body, to the members of this body, I would suggest that they read the Mike Dugan article if they have not, in which Mike makes some very good points that the fact that the Bible's there, it doesn't leap out and strangle anybody into Christianity. And I think that just because the Supreme Court may have made a ruling about church and state, improperly in my opinion, based on the First Amendment, which says nothing about that. But Madam Speaker, the Supreme Court several years ago, a century, made a ruling on the Dred Scott case. Now, I'm certainly not a racist, and I would hope that that Supreme Court in those days was not racist either. But again, I won't deliberate or bore you with the Dred Scott case, but I suggest those who are not familiar with it look up what the Supreme Court, the Almighty Tribunal, suggested was fair. I suggest then that at least, if nothing else, the Supreme Court of the United States is not infallible. And so I suggest, Madam Speaker, that as a Christian nation, to chastise those who only are asking for the right to make available to people who do want to use the Bible, that we can't have it both ways. We can't appear to be Christian and also be atheistic. And I thank you.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The member, of course, was referring to me.
Representative, would you request permission?
Oh, thank you, Madam Speaker. Request permission to speak on the same subject.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The issue is an interesting one. I think I spent about 10 minutes on it last summer to send a letter. Completely forgot about it, and somehow it has caught on in recent times based on a decision the Hickel administration made last year, not this year. The points the previous speaker made are based on a lot of mistaken assumptions. He may view it as a Christian nation. He may view it as the entire basis for this country, but we actually don't have a constitution written that way. And I'm sorry if the previous speaker wishes it was otherwise. And the points the speaker made all apply to the issue of separation of church and state regarding Bibles on the ferry. But that actually isn't the issue. The Bibles are still on the ferries. The Bibles have never left the ferries. The only issue that's ever been involved in this are state employees paid with state dollars going to be stocking Bibles each and every day aboard the ferries we have. And I just came upon this issue by accident. I've since learned how it came about originally, and this came from a person who has been working with ferry workers for years. Originally, the Gideon Bibles people brought the books, and they were just left on the ferries. They were made available. People knew they were there in a library or some common area. And they'd often put them on one time at the beginning of a season, and as they disappeared, there was no effort by state employees to go put them on again. But what happened is they have limited room on the ferries, so the state employees eventually
because they had so many of them there, started stalking them into each room, and it became part of the stalking procedure. So now when they go into a room, or when they did last year, they'd see linens check, blankets check, Bible check, you know, et cetera, whatever else is out there. And it became an activity that added to the duties of state employees. If you look at it from the point of view of Bibles on the ferries, there isn't a problem. Anyone who wants to get a Bible, the Gideon's Bible, because no one else is distributing them, no other entity is doing it. They could if they want, but no one will, and no one has. It's a major effort to get that many Bibles out. Anyone who wants a Bible can get the Bible. There's no problem at all. They may even put on notices or something to make sure everyone knows where they are. There'll be plenty of copies, so you can not only take them to your room, you can take them home with you. There will not be a lack of Bibles on the ferries. In my view, most of this issue is just a complete misunderstanding. And as in regard to the previous member's idea, you can't have it both ways. I don't know if he listened very carefully to our prayers for the last 2 years, but we have a variety of prayers on this floor. I have seen not just Christian prayers, but Jewish prayers. I've seen a variety of non-denominational prayers. I've seen prayers that cover the gamut of religious beliefs, and I think it'll continue that way. And if we'd certainly have a number of protests if we had only one segment of the religious world reflected in our prayers. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you. Request permission to speak to the body about community pride.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm a newcomer to Juneau, newcomer to the legislature, and I've been made to feel at home in Juneau. And I want to speak a little bit about, first, the committee, the welcoming committee that Juneau has. I was contacted in my residence back in Kodiak after being elected with offers to of help of getting housing and everything else through this. I assume it's a private organization that does welcoming for legislators to the community, and I think it's very good. Secondly, last Tuesday we were at a reception, a community reception for legislators. The amount of people that showed up there from the community making us feel at home was very heartwarming, and I appreciate it very much. And then finally, this Saturday night at the Governor's Ball, again, the community came out. It was a gorgeous event. There was parties afterwards. I attended most of it, was felt right at home, and I wanted to just say how much I appreciate the community. They should have a lot of pride in how they run their community, and hope that our two Juneau representatives would take that message back. Thank you.
Further special orders. There are no further announcements. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand adjourned until 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday morning, January 29th.
We are adjourned.